following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
If your business is spending too much on ink and toner every month, talk to Cartridge World. With 600 stores, we're home and office printing pros, and we'll help you save hundreds of dollars. Our ink and toner costs about 30% less than the superstores. 30%. Cartridge World. We're home and office printing pros. Give us a call and save every time you print. Up to 30%. Find a store near you at CartridgeWorld.com. That's CartridgeWorld.com.
Wendy's presents Captain Daring-ish.
Hello, I'm Captain Daring-ish. Is that a chicken sandwich?
And then some. It's Wendy's Asiago Ranch Chicken Club.
Maybe a bit too daring for me.
Oh, come on! Boldly soar with crisp bacon and Asiago cheese.
Looks good, but must be less daring. Aha, a cat stuck in a really small bush.
Asiago Big, Wendy's Asiago Ranch Chicken Club, with bold flavors like rich Asiago, thick-cut bacon, and cool and creamy ranch.
Now that's better.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Thursday morning to you here. Randy Bushcutter from the broadcast booth, brought to you by, of course, our good friends at Midway Auto Dealership. And it's Doug and Daddy Show. We don't have Daddy. We don't have Doug. Randy Bushcutter, Monty Kranzenstein, as Doug is on his way to Vegas.
Oh, geez. Did you call ahead and warn him that he was coming?
They've been forewarned. We actually talked and tried to clear a few things up on the show yesterday. So he is on his way. He actually said that maybe the wind will keep him out of Vegas for a little bit. So, you know.
Nothing's going to keep him from that. places that he wants to go.
Usually when we talk about high wind warnings and Duda, he's the cause, not suffering from it there. How you doing, Monty?
I'm great. Randy, just an obscure question for you.
When's
the last time you ran out of gas when you were driving down the highway?
Oh, not when I was driving down the highway. I was in the parking lot when it happened. And actually, it happened about 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, just, you know, I've got a really nice company pickup. Nebraska Salt and Grain provides me with transportation. It's really nice. And that fuel gauge usually tells me how much gas I have left. It's not exactly taking into account the high wind, driving against the wind, apparently, because I was about 1 mile short. So all the wives out there that are listening that always tell their husbands, we need to fill up, and all the husbands that are saying,
I got time.
But the good news is I met a nice gentleman from Sutton that gave me a ride to the gas station. And then a guy, I don't know, you might know him, Seth Denny.
I've heard of him.
Seth Denny was the hero and took me there. But he may or may not be informing the entire world of my misfortune.
Well, he's
today.
A journalist. He's a journalist.
Just reporting the news, right?
Yeah, he's a journalist. Uh-huh. So I think that's why he broke out the cell phone and took the picture. It's because he's a journalist. Mine, I have one of those remote start deals.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it accurately accounts for how much gas I use with that. Long story short, my gas gauge itself is broken.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, it kind of that distance to empty and that sort of thing. I have an idea in there. And I also reset. Every time I fill up, I reset how much gas I put in. Mm-hmm. And I know the tank holds 17 gallons. So until I've used 17 gallons of gas, I think I'm okay. So I'm at 16.8. And I'm going, all right, I get done. I got to drive across the street, literally across the street to the gas station. And I ran out of gas. I literally was across the street from the station.
So. It happens. And I've got a lot of great excuses that nobody really cares about that I'm not going to share. But the bottom line is thank you from the nice gentleman from Sutton. And thank you to Seth Denny, who came in his painting clothes. He was there for me. Actually, I called Seth's wife, lovely wife Melissa, because I figured that she would be nicer about it and not hold it against me. But Seth happened to be there, so Seth was the guy. So thank you, Seth Denny. If you happen to be listening, you're a wonderful person today.
I wouldn't be surprised if he calls in and razzes you a little bit with that as well. I want to talk to you about something else. With the Super Bowl going on, to me it's kind of interesting. Marshawn Lynch is being criticized because he isn't talking to the media. And, of course, Sherman's been criticized for how much he did talk to the media. You've kind of had microphones stuck in your face at before, after, and during football games. What is your kind of reaction to both sides of that coin?
My reaction is that in Super Bowl week, there's no way to win. You can't win. Here's the thing. You have to stay true to what you are. Lynch is a guy that is quiet. He stays to himself. He doesn't like talking to the media. Honestly, I don't think he cares about the criticism. He wants to play his best football, win the football game. Richard Sherman, on the other hand, is a guy who, as we've seen, very emotional. When you stick a microphone in his face, he's going to tell you exactly what he's thinking at that particular time. But also a very, very articulate human being. Very intelligent, very articulate, has two little sides to the story. And so he was doing a lot of maybe damage control from after what happened in the playoff game.
And he needed it.
And he did it very well. Isn't it amazing how our perceptions, if you didn't know Richard Sherman before, your perceptions of him from that post-playoff interview versus now has maybe changed because of what he's all about. I'm not saying you should be a fan or be anti-Richard Sherman, but it's interesting how our initial reactions and our initial impressions are sometimes not accurate.
Yeah, he did not portray himself very well. He did not portray himself accurately in terms of who he is as a person. I would agree with that. He may not have been a punk, but he acted like it just for a little time there. And I said it at the time. What bothers me, I don't like those immediate, right after the game, interviews for players, for coaches, whatever. You need to have a little decompression time. So I don't think it's ever accurate to really stick a mic in front of those guys' faces, unless you're looking at a quarterback, some of those other positions where you don't get excited. The quarterbacks don't run through walls. You know what I mean? That's not how they're wired. That's not what you ask them to do. So they're not going to act like that. But guys that run around for a living, yeah, they are.
Well, and it's an emotional, it's a violent game. And then, interestingly enough, those guys get criticized a few, literally seconds after that emotion plays out. They get criticized for what they do. And again, I'm not necessarily a Richard Sherman fan in the way that he portrays himself. I have some respect for him. But people are very, very willing to jump on something, whichever side, right away. And then sometimes you have to look a little deeper into that. Perspective.
Yeah, it's all that knee-jerk reaction stuff, too. I mean, again, when you were recruited to play football, you didn't have that immediacy with the media. No. There wasn't an announcement on Facebook. It wasn't Twitter. No. People didn't tweet at you if you made one decision versus another decision. It's just, it's different, but it doesn't have to be. I think if everybody just takes a step back and just relaxes a little bit, we don't really, we tend to overreact.
Oh, and then that's society, and we can go on a whole show on society and all that sort of thing with social media and whatnot. But the bottom line when you mentioned recruiting is it's a factor for coaches now going out on the road. Did you see the picture in the paper that Bo Pelini and the fake Bo Pelini and the Twitter account?
And the cats, he's having a little fun with it.
Well, and he's carrying the cat cage on the way to the charter plane, and Papuchis tweets it. I mean, to me, that's good because you're using social media in a positive way to maybe change the perception of some people, he's a crabby old man and a crabby guy that doesn't want to deal with it, all this sort of thing. I think that's a good thing, but listen, if you're coaching or if you're recruiting high school kids and you aren't involved in social media, if you aren't involved in the media overall, you're falling behind because that's the world, right or wrong, that's the world we live in.
Yeah, I think the vast majority of kids are being recruited today. They're going to make that announcement on Twitter. When they finally make that decision, they're going to send it out they're not into Facebook as much as they are Twitter, maybe even Instagram. They're going to do that media. That they're going to get out there. So you're right. The coaches, assistant coaches, the recruiters, the head coaches all need to worry about what their online image looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it just boggles my mind that you kind of have to worry about PR. Because, you know, you play for a coach, and we all love Dr. Tom, but not the most magnetic personality in the world. Mm-hmm. He really would have had to have some assistance there to deal probably with the Twitter and the Facebook and all that other stuff that you have to have today.
And I've talked to him about that a little bit. You know, how would you have to do things? Would you have to do things differently now if you coached as opposed to when you did it? And that's one of the things he mentions. He says, you know, the difficulty in the recruiting process, in the media expectations, is way different than it was in those days. And, you know, of course, he's a smart enough guy that he would have figured out how to be successful doing that. But you'd have to do it differently.
He probably, and I'm sure he could tell you that when he was recruiting kids in 72 and 73, it was a whole lot different when he was recruiting them in 92 and 93.
Absolutely.
Well.
You're right. You're right.
Well, one of the things that's also changed for Nebraska, obviously, is the move into the Big Ten Conference. And we're going to talk with Rick Pizzo from the Big Ten Network here in a little bit about the conference in general. And obviously, we'll have some specific questions about Nebraska men's basketball. Later on in the show, we'll be talking with Jason Boyd, the head girls basketball coach for Kearney High. They have won, I think it's like 6 of their last 7 games. They're on a pretty good run right now. They're rated in the top 10, according to the Lincoln Journal Star. And they've got a pretty, whenever they play Grand Island, it's a big matchup. That's Friday. And then they play a top 10 team, Omaha Northwest, on Saturday. So we'll talk with Coach Boyd about that. Nice win last night for the Nebraska women, who have fallen out of the top 25. Doug talked about this a little bit yesterday, that actually one of those bracketology guys says that the Nebraska women wouldn't even be in the NCAA tournament, one of the first 4 teams out. So any and all wins kind of important to Nebraska, and they picked up a good win last night against Michigan.
They have some work to do, and one of those steps was last night, because, you know, Michigan had a surprisingly good year for what their expectations were, but that was a big win. There was no doubt either from the opening tip. Hit some threes early, and just it was a whitewash of that team.
I think they fully understood that they've got to pick it up, and there's some grit to them. I mean, they play hard from beginning to the end of the game, and I think they understand their backs to the wall just a little bit.
I've never seen a Connie Urie coach team, whether when she was at Creighton or at Nebraska, that wasn't those girls play extremely hard. Of course, they had a little bit of boost, you know. Kelsey Griffin and her jersey being retired and all the hoopla before. I think that was a cool deal. She was sitting on the bench there. And that's a neat deal, because she's a great story as well. You know, where she came from, the adversity she had to face with the injuries and all those things, and the success that she had. And she's kind of a great face for the current Nebraska basketball program, and Connie Urie's program.
Yeah, and that she does a nice job of kind of establishing something that they're trying to continue on a little bit. Because, you know, let's face it, some of the best years for women's basketball in Nebraska was when she was playing, and now I think she gets a lot of credit for the legacy that you left behind.
And she should. Yeah, you need to bring those people back and be part of that, because that's a good thing, definitely.
Absolutely. On the other side, Devrell Biggs, I want to get your take on what's kind of happened to him in the last week as well. He's been asked to leave the Nebraska basketball program because it appears he didn't fulfill all the obligations he had in terms of making it to team meetings and that sort of thing. Just what is your take on all that?
I have mixed emotions and feelings on a lot of that. It's really too bad, Randy. It really is. When you see a kid with so much talent and so much ability and what the opportunity he's been given, and you saw flashes of brilliance and you saw other parts that wasn't so brilliant. And, you know, he'd gotten himself in trouble, and he wasn't following the team rules. You know, the straw that broke the camel's back was missing or being late again for a team meeting. You just can't do that over and over and over again. I give a lot of credit to Tim Miles and that program, because, again, there's a temptation to put up with a lot of that sort of thing, to degrade the culture of your program, what you're trying to establish, by keeping those players involved in your program. So I give a lot of credit for doing what he had to do. It was you hate to see it happen, but, and it's unfortunate, but I think it's probably the best thing. It might be the best thing for Devrell Biggs too, to get a little fresh start once again.
Yeah, and I agree that Coach Miles had to make that decision. I also like the fact he didn't throw him under the bus. They haven't cut off all contact with him. He still is being able to use many of the facilities there in terms of tutoring to keep his grades up so he can make a transfer and kind of move on. And I think they're still looking at him as the person, making sure that he isn't just cast off. You're no good to us anymore. We're going to get rid of you. And I think that's very, very important for future recruiting and down the road, and plain flat out, it's just the right thing to do.
And there's a commitment level on both sides. You commit to a player, and a player is supposed to commit to you. And if they can't follow the structure that is presented to them, it just doesn't work. It's too bad. He's a player. You know, he was the guy that with the ball in his hands, he could get to the rim and he could make some things happen against some of those really tough Big Ten defenses. And they're going to miss that part of it, but. And also, there was the chemistry of the team was being affected by him being part of that team and him not following the team structure. And so, move on.
Yeah, you tighten things up, and we'll find out the impact. I mean, they won without him against Minnesota, and again, Indiana coming into town tonight at Pinnacle Bank Arena, and we'll see how they match up with that, and we'll talk more about that with the folks from the Big Ten Network coming up here in just a little bit. If you hadn't heard, there's a bit of a football game on Sunday that is going to be a pretty big deal, and it's time now to hand out our all-expense-paid trip to the Big Apple just in time for the Super Bowl. ESPN and the Big Apple Fun Center, as well as Fassville's Plaza, are giving away a $20 gas card to Fassville's, a $40 gift card to the Big Apple, so you can get to the game, have a pretty good time, eat and drink during the Super Bowl, and it's going to be a pretty good deal. And the way you get into this was you need to send an email to us, right, Jeff?
Yep.
And so we've got in a hat, literally. The names are in a hat, and Monty, I'll have you pull that out, and we'll find out.
I can vouch for the hat. It's an ESPN hat.
It's an actual hat.
Yes, yes.
I'm not so sure it isn't my hat, to be honest with you. I'm not really sure. And the winner is Lance Kakowski of Kearney. And Lance will be giving you a call here just to make sure that you know about it. But Lance, $20 gift card from Fassville's and a $40 gift card to the Big Apple. And so we'll get that to you. Make sure you have that. You have plenty of time to make it to the Super Bowl. You don't have to have it on the Super Bowl, but why wouldn't you go there with all the TVs that they have? It'll be a pretty good time. Big game at the Big Apple. And certainly want to say thanks to them and congratulations to Lance for being our winner. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue. And we'll talk more in Nebraska basketball. We'll talk, in fact, the entire Big Ten Conference. We'll do that when we come back right after this.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I have never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sunmart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Hi, it's the Herd. With Valentine's fast approaching, do what I do. Wow her this Valentine. With roses from 1-800-Flowers.com, your rose authority. Okay, first of all, they got a limited time offer just for my listeners. Available only today. Just today, order a dozen roses and get 6 additional roses and a vase for $29.99. That's 18 roses and a vase for under $30. Plus, upgrade to 24 roses, 2 dozen, and a box of chocolates, just $10 more. But you need to order now because this offer ends Friday. Only while supplies last, and they'll run out. Order today for Valentine's delivery. Don't screw it up, guys. They'll never forget. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or mobile device. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin. Or you can always just call 1-800-Flowers and mention my first name.
This is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Cloudy today, temperatures cool into the low 30s. Lots of clouds tonight with areas of snow. 1 to 3 inches will be possible, where it's a low near 15. Chance of snow on Friday, high near 23. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 28.
Welcome back here to the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Buschcutter, Monty Kratzenstein, and, well, Doug Duda is on the way. I think his flight is scheduled to leave at noon, so I think he's probably at the airport or at the, I don't know, somewhere near the airport anyway. We'll leave it at that.
He's off the radar. As of right now, he's off the radar.
He certainly is. But on the radar certainly is Doug McDermott of the Creighton Blue Jays. And you mentioned that we were talking before you got here that you had a chance to watch him. But our Midtown Mart cooler question of the day, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics, Midtown Mart of Hastings. Is Creighton's Doug McDermott the best player in college basketball? Yes or no? Your thoughts, Monty.
Yes, yes, and more yes. I'm a huge Doug McDermott fan. I've gotten a couple little verbal arguments with some people about him and his value. And, you know, I think there's a little bit in Nebraska. Unfortunately, there's this. Some people say it's tough to be a Nebraska football fan and a Creighton basketball fan. You shouldn't mix the blue and the red. I disagree.
Yeah, totally. I don't know.
Well, but we get a lot of that from Lincoln and Omaha,
sure,
thing, where, you know. But I'll tell you what, I have to go back in my memory a long time to think of a better college basketball player, not NBA potential. We're not talking about NBA potential. I'm talking about the flat out college basketball.
The college
player.
Game. Yeah.
I mean, talk to me about that, Randy. Who do you think he compares to? I think he's one of the best. I truly do.
I agree. And a kid I like, and the grit, the game, the drive kind of reminds me of Kraft from Ohio State. I've always liked his game as well. Obviously, they're different players a little bit. McDermott, much more of an offensive threat, much more of a jump shooter. But I really like his game. And I agree with you. He's the best player in college basketball. Most of our voters agreed with that as well. 67% said, well, I'm sorry, I went backwards. 67% said no. Only 33% said yes.
I
read that backwards.
I would like to ask them, if he's not, then who is?
Yeah.
Because, and again, you go back to looking at the total picture, the different ways that he scores. Look at the different ways that he scores versus, you know, the kid from Duke, the kid from Kansas, the kid from Arizona, you know, which would be probably three of the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
The diversity of his game from the offensive standpoint to me is unprecedented this year. And his rebounding and defensive ability. Again, you're looking at the total picture.
Yep.
Now, again,
yep.
I'm not saying that he's going to be a better pro player than those three. But that's not the argument.
Right.
You know, the argument is
that's a different discussion.
And that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah.
But I thoroughly believe that Doug McDermott is the best college basketball player that I've seen in many, many years. And I'd love to hear other people's opinions of that.
Well, obviously, we asked the question in the wake of the shot against St. John's that he won. And we didn't really have a great amount of time yesterday to talk about that. But not only did McDermott, the player, make a heck of a play, his coach drew up, his dad drew up a pretty good play for him, you know, because they had a pretty good shooter, Rogge, that set a screen for him. He came off the screen. They got a great look out of it. And it was a great call because he called a timeout to set all that stuff up. I thought the coaching was pretty good. I thought the team ran a great set, and they got the ball to their hottest shooter, a guy that had 36 points up to that point, had him say, we're going to leave it up to you to make a shot. And certainly he was able to do that.
Well, St. John's was criticized a lot by the Nationals media for saying, well, who do you think was going to shoot that? And I agree with that. But if you really look at that play that they ran a little dribble handoff out to the right-hand side, a little dribble handoff with the two guards, and then ran a little pick and roll off the dribble handoff with that post. And then McDermott and the screener were kind of on the other side. Well, coming off that dribble handoff and that screen, there had to be help in the lane. If there's not help in the lane, that was going to be an easy shot. And so then they ran a little flare on the other side. It was really well conceived. It isn't as easy to say, well, just don't let him get the ball. Should you have put a guy right there and said, I can argue that too. But bottom line is, it was about a 25-foot jump shot over an extended hand created by a somewhat illegal screen. The guy was moving pretty good.
That's part of the handoff. You're going to get away with that.
I had a discussion with another official that talked about, you got to call that illegal screen at that point. And I said, from 25 feet away, the old argument, it's a foul, it's a foul. If it's a foul in the first quarter, it's a foul at the end of the game. Well, I know in theory that's right, but how many games have we watched where, are you going to call an illegal screen on a flare screen to the weak side wing? I don't think so. It was a well-executed play, 25-foot jump shot to win a game. That's a great play.
Yeah, and the only way to stop McDermott from getting the ball is commit a foul, and do you really want to send him to the line?
Yeah.
I mean, that's about the only way they were going to be able to do that. Of course they knew the ball was going to get there, but not – We know that they're going to throw the ball occasionally to Wes Welker, too. It doesn't mean he isn't going to catch any balls on Sunday.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think part of what makes McDermott such a great player is how much better he makes the players around him, which is to me, the epitome of great players.
Yep. Yeah.
Ethan Rogge and so many – Chapman and so many of those guys are so good because of what McDermott does for them and his constant movement, forcing that defense to react to what McDermott does – creates openings for the other team. And right now, when they shoot it, they're really, really good. Now, you're always going to have those games where you aren't going to hit those threes, but they're a pretty good basketball team right now.
Yeah, and I'm with you, by the way. When Nebraska and Creighton are on at the same time, I'm probably watching Nebraska. I mean, I'm a Nebraska guy.
Right.
I am. But if Nebraska's not on, I'm going to watch Creighton. I mean, no question about it. In the NCAA tournament, I'm pretty sure Nebraska's not going to get in. Creighton is. That's going to be the appointment viewing for me during the NCAA basketball tournament, and I'll be rooting for Creighton to win.
So sometime soon, when Tim Miles gets that Nebraska basketball team to the NCAA tournament and they're matched up with Creighton, you're cheering for red.
God. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
Easy. I mean, this year, and I knew which team was better, but they play every year, and every year I'll be wearing red to that game.
Sure.
And I got a lot of blue stuff, but usually I have a Loper head on it somewhere.
Yep.
All right. Today's Midtown Market Cooler question: who wins Super Bowl 48? Pretty simple question. Denver or Seattle? I've got the Broncos. Monty, you have?
Oh, I don't want to cheer against. I don't want to pick against Peyton Manning. I mean, I think probably Seattle has a better overall team, but there's the Peyton Manning factor that I think can't be ignored. And I hate to put this game all on one guy, but he could win this game for the Broncos. If he doesn't play well, I think Seattle probably has a better overall team. But I'll take Denver.
What, they played 18 games have the Broncos? Of those 18 games, how many bad games has Manning had? One, maybe?
Yeah.
So, I think if you're saying, hey, put on the quarterback's shoulders, Peyton Manning would be about the guy I'd probably want more than anybody else out there right now for that. And that's not saying anything bad against Russell Wilson, because I think he's a pretty good quarterback. But to me, games on the line, the last 4, 6, maybe 2 minutes of the game, I'm sorry. I think Manning over Wilson, and Wilson's going to be that level, but not right now.
Well, Peyton Manning, I don't think Denver wins without Peyton Manning playing well.
No.
I can see Seattle winning without Russell Wilson playing well. In fact, in the last few playoff games, Russell Wilson has not played that well, but because of their defense, because of Marshawn Lynch, I certainly think that Seattle could win this game without Russell Wilson playing well.
Yeah, they really haven't asked him to do that extraordinary thing, but that's just kind of the way that Denver is.
set up. So anyway, that's on Sunday tonight. Nice little basketball game going on at Pinnacle Bank Arena as Nebraska will be taking on Indiana. And kind enough to join us to talk about that, the rest of the Big Ten Conference, is Rick Pizzo from the Big Ten Network. Rick, good to hear from you. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Always good to be with you guys.
Let me just start with the first obvious question. Is right now the Big Ten Conference the best college basketball conference in the country?
I can guarantee it's the most unpredictable.
Yeah, last night.
Not a person on earth saw last night coming. Are you kidding me? Penn State winning at Ohio State. Even more surprising, Northwestern winning at Wisconsin. To your question, yes. I think it's the deepest league for sure. I think when Michigan State gets healthy, they, along with Michigan and Iowa, give the Big Ten three legitimate, right now, Final Four teams. There is not a night in the Big Ten where you can say this team is a lock, regardless of who's playing and regardless of where the game is. And to me, that makes the Big Ten the best conference in the country.
Rick, I think a lot of times conferences that are real deep, they beat each other up a little bit, and I think from the national perception, there's always going to be those guys around the country that said, "Yeah, but you know, look at Ohio State. They can't even they got this losing streak. They can't beat Nebraska. They can't beat you know where I'm going with that. You know what's your argument? Is it just March Madness success is what's going to convince people that this conference is so good?
I think that's probably the only thing that can. There are going to be haters. There are going to be people who you just cannot convince that the Big Ten is the best conference in the country in basketball. And it's a very weird thing because I think it's a hangover from football season. I think people don't want to give the league credit. They had two bad football seasons in a row that has nothing to do with what's going on the basketball court. And, yeah, the teams are cannibalizing each other. And that's what happens when you play in a really good league. I think the good news for the Big Ten is when you look around the rest of the country, you look at leagues like the Horizon League, the Missouri Valley, conferences that in the past have actually been multi-bid leagues, getting not only their champion but at-larges, those conferences are down this year. And so that's going to mean you're going to have more major conference teams in, which means a Big Ten team that might be on the bubble, a team right now like a Minnesota, is probably going to get in. And I think when they get in, then they're able to prove just how good this league is.
Do you think that style of play also is a factor? Because I've argued or talked to people about this before where – you know, a lot of Big Ten basketball is not sexy. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but Wisconsin, even when they are great, is not fun for some team people to watch if you want to see high-flying scoring. But do you think that the style of play contributes to some of that perception as well?
Absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, Northwestern, you could add to that as well. Chris Collins knows he can't win getting up and down the court against Michigan State, against Michigan, against Iowa, even against Wisconsin. So he slows it down even more than Bo Ryan wants to slow it down. So yes, it absolutely adds to this perception that the league is not skilled or the league is not talented. The league is really tough. And what you see at the end of the day when you get into the tournament is you see the skill come out. I think that's why Big Ten teams typically will score more points when they play non-conference opposition, even BCS quality opposition, and more points when they get into the tournament than they do during the regular season, because the defense, that is the history of this league. It is a grind-it-out, beat-you-up style of league. And I just, for a couple of exceptions, Michigan State can get up and down, so can Iowa. I think that will remain the case for at least a couple of years.
Rick, half the conference is kind of clumped in there. You know, Iowa's 5-3. You got Ohio State 3-5, and there's six teams kind of in that group there. But on the top, Michigan State 7-0, 8-1, respectively. Is there that kind of gap, or is it a little bit closer for Michigan and Michigan State?
I don't think there's really that big a gap, and I don't think there's that big a gap between Iowa. I know they're 5-3 in the league, and I know they have a couple extra losses, but look at who their losses are to. They lost a game against Wisconsin up in Madison they probably should have won, and their other two losses in the league are to Michigan and to Michigan State. They've eviscerated a whole bunch of other people. Their other non-conference losses, I mean, you have Iowa State in there, some really good teams. So I would put Iowa in that top three. Do I then see a drop-off? Yeah, I wouldn't say it's precipitous, but I think there's definitely a little bit of a gap between those top three and then the Wisconsins, the Minnesotas, whoever else you want to throw in that mix. I think Ohio State is in serious trouble of even possibly missing out on the NCAA tournament. That would be a big blow for the Big Ten, but obviously only time will tell over the last half of the conference season.
Rick, do you think Northwestern can get in? They're 11-11, 4-5. Obviously, their win last night is a quality win that's going to get a lot of attention. But at 11-11, do they have a legitimate shot, or do they have to win, you know, the vast majority of what's left?
No, I don't think they have a shot to get in. I think Chris Collins has a shot to be Big Ten Coach of the Year. Most people look at their schedule, I think, and expected them to win two, maybe three Big Ten games. They've already surpassed that. I would be absolutely shocked based on what happened to them in the non-conference and early in the conference season if they were able to make a run and get to the tournament. That being said, I think Northwestern falls in the same category as Nebraska, falls in the same category as Penn State. Three teams that no one wants to play if their tournament life is on the line, especially if those games are on the road at those three places.
Rick, when I think about Indiana basketball, I think about the candy stripe warm-ups, and I think about the tradition of that place. For some of our listeners that have a chance to go watch them play in Lincoln, big game for, you know, marquee matchup, at least as far as you know, Nebraska-Indiana, that's a big deal. What can you tell us about Indiana?
Well, Yogi Ferrell is a guy who last year as a freshman point guard was a distributor. He had the ability to get the ball to Victor Oladipo. He had the ability to get the ball to Cody Zeller. They were so deep. They had so many scores. Christian Watford on that team as well. Now he's not a sharer. He's a scorer. He's one of the top five in the league in scoring. And I think that's bad news for Indiana. I don't think that's how they operate. If you can keep Yogi Ferrell out of the lane, and Nebraska's defense is designed to do that, to keep guys from driving on them, especially in the paint, then Indiana becomes really one-dimensional. The one place that I think Indiana will have a big advantage over Nebraska is in the paint with Noah Vonleh, young freshman that if you haven't seen him play, watch him now, because I don't think he's going to be in college all that long. Remarkably skilled for his age, still a little bit thin, still can be bumped around if you have that big physical guy to knock him around, but Nebraska doesn't. So I think that's the biggest area of concern for the Huskers, is keeping Vonleh from filling up the stat sheet. If they can do that, I think Nebraska is the favorite. Not a heavy favorite, but I think Nebraska is the favorite to win this game tonight at home.
When I was looking at the matchups, that's exactly what I thought, because he is not your traditional big. You know, he's long and very active, and he's going to be a tough matchup for Nebraska. They're certainly going to have to figure out a way to contain him a little bit. When's the last time a freshman led the Big Ten in rebounding?
I mean, he's unbelievable, right? I mean, he's a guy who the upside, I know NBA scouts love to talk about that word, his upside is unbelievable because he is so polished, but the body hasn't developed. And when you have the shoulders as wide as his, but not the broad, the muscle, which will come, he's only 18 years old, 19 years old, he doesn't have that man strength yet. I don't know if he's coming back to Bloomington next year, but you get him in an NBA weight room, my friends, oh my goodness, this guy is going to be a monster. If he stays in Indiana, he's going to be a monster at this level for as long as he stays. I think he's going to be an immediate impact player in the NBA. I think he's that good.
Monty Kratzenstein, Randy Bushcutter here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Joining us, Rick Pizzo from the Big Ten Network. All right, Rick, let's talk a little bit about Nebraska. They're only 2-5 in the conference. But, you know, that doesn't look very impressive. But they just kind of feel like they're heading in a better direction than they were last year when their record was still very, very similar.
Yeah, I think they have a lot more confidence. I mean, they have a go-to scorer in Petaway, a guy who it doesn't matter if the other team is defending him with multiple players, if they're double-teaming him. Everybody knows he's the number one scoring option, and he's still filling it up. I know they're 2-5, but how easily could that record be 4-3? That's the Michigan game they absolutely should have won. And the Penn State game they gave away with a couple of very questionable decisions from Devrel Biggs, who I know is no longer part of the program for other reasons. But absolutely a different team, a more confident team, a team that has an arena that is jumping. I can't wait to actually get there to be able to see a game at Pinnacle Bank, because you can hear and feel the energy through the TV screen. So I think it's a completely different team than it was a year ago. I believed when they hired Tim Miles before last season that it was a slam dunk hire. I think that's going to prove itself out in the next couple of years. Give him a couple of years to recruit with those facilities, with that atmosphere to show recruits. Man, I think Nebraska is a tournament team within 2 to 3 years at most.
What are some of the things, Rick, you think that Nebraska is lacking right now that hopefully they'll be able to find through the recruiting venue?
Well, that's exactly it. You have to get players that coming out of high school, I'm not saying can do what Noah Vonleh is doing, but you have to get incoming freshmen that can do what Teran Pettaway is doing. You have to get guys who can come in and be immediate contributors so you have some depth, because that is not a very deep team. And when you go the JUCO route, you only have those guys for 2 years. When you go the transfer route, those guys have to sit out. I cannot tell you and describe, you can't overstate the importance of having a new arena and a practice facility like Nebraska has. That is what all incoming recruits want these days. They want the bells, they want the whistles, they want the cool uniforms, they want the lockers with the iPods hooked in. That's what Nebraska can now offer. They've never been able to offer that in the past. It is a complete and total game changer for this program.
Do they have to win, though, to help with that recruiting? I mean, it's chicken or the egg kind of thing. You know, everybody wants to play.
Absolutely. No, it's a great point. Yeah, you have to win. I mean, you could have all the greatest facilities in the world, and if you go 0-18 in the league, yeah, of course, who wants to go there? But look around. That doesn't really happen. I mean, you could make that argument with Oregon. What came first, Oregon's winning or Phil Knight's money? Phil Knight's money came first, and then Oregon got funky uniforms, and then they got Heisman Trophy candidates, and then they started to run all of the West Coast in football. So I think it's very rare that the excitement, the money, the arena, all that stuff is invested, and it doesn't turn into wins. I would be shocked, absolutely shocked, if this is not a team that's at least 500 in the league next season.
Rick, I like having you on. I think our fans like having you on because your optimism and your excitement. We do appreciate that, because we've been trying to sell Tim Miles and to a lot of people. You know, there's been so many years of mediocrity that everybody's kind of just sitting with their arms folded, at least for the first part of the year. And now all of a sudden, you get a couple wins, you get that excitement. I think you're dead on. I hope so.
Well, I hope so, too. And, I think it's hard. It's always hard at a quote-unquote football school. Listen, it's going to be hard when you have the history that Nebraska football has to make sure that excitement continues if you have some lean years. And Nebraska has had some lean years. I think Doc Savage is one of the nicest guys in the world, but it didn't work. Tim Miles gets it. Whether he's on Twitter at halftime, whether he's doing whatever he has to do in the public eye socially, he gets it. He's a terrific recruiter. I'm not just being optimistic because I'm on the radio with you guys in Lincoln. You know, I mean, I'm not optimistic about Ohio State's basketball team right now. There are other things that I'm pessimistic about. I'm very optimistic about what Tim Miles can do in Lincoln.
Rick, one last question. Where do you kind of see the race for? Who do you think's the best player in the conference, and where does Teran Pettaway fit in that discussion?
Well, he's certainly one of the best scorers, I'll tell you that. I think he falls behind both Gary Harris and Nick Stauskas, though, because I think at the end of the day, you have to win. You have to be in the race for the conference championship, unless you are an absolute standout star that blows the record out of the water. I mean, between Harris and Stauskas at Michigan State and Michigan, respectively, those two guys have been so good on both ends of the floor that I think they've separated themselves from the rest of the field. I would be really surprised if either one of those two guys are not the top two vote-getters in the race for player of the year. That being said, Pettaway would absolutely be in my top five right now.
Hey, Rick, appreciate the time. Always, and Monty mentioned it, always great to have you on. Appreciate you spending some time with us.
My pleasure, boys. Stay warm.
Hey, you too, Rick. Thank you very much. That's Rick Pizzo from the Big Ten Network. And again, you said it, Monty. He always optimistic, knows his basketball, and it is the best conference in the country. And Nebraska cracking in to getting that, in that number six spot would be a huge step up for them. They're not there yet. You need to get to the point where you don't rush to the floor when you beat a team that's got a losing conference record. People rush the floor when you get beat at their place.
You know, I like hearing from guys like that because I always like to hear the outside perception. Because, what's your perception of Nebraska basketball, Nebraska football, and so on? Because it's really ironic that sometimes in close, the perception is more pessimistic than optimistic. And it's kind of interesting. It's like that with football too, where everybody always wants to talk about the bad things. And I'll tell you, we had a lot of good things going on in Lincoln at that the basketball program with the women and the men's, and I think you enjoy it. That's a great facility, great location. I'm all in.
Yeah, I'm with you too. And Rick, I think, nailed it on the head that Coach Miles gets it. They're heading on the right path. I really like where Nebraska is going when it comes to basketball. And that's one reason why I'm excited about being a fan. You get in on the ground level. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll take a little time off, sell some stuff here, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk with the head girls basketball coach from Kearney High. We'll talk with Coach Boyd when we come back right after this.
J-E-R-S-E-Y. Lace him up.
Straight away. Three.
Strap it on.
Three to try to win it.
It's pull good. It over. You're going to Jersey's, where the high-def big screens put you there, along with great food, cold drinks, great fans. It's simple. Jersey's attracts real sports fans, the kind like you, who wear the team colors on their back, their loyalty on their sleeves, bleed their team's colors. Jersey's Sports Bar, Vista Point, North Kearney. It's like a courtside ticket.
For the win. Up, got it, the buzzer. Oh, my.
Hey, Golick, what you watching?
Film from last year's big game.
That doesn't look like San Francisco and Baltimore. Looks like a bunch of us sitting around in your living room.
Exactly. I had the nanny cam going during my party.
You have a nanny?
No. I have a deep commitment to film study, though. It's all about getting better. Last year, I ran out of Johnsonville sausage in the third quarter. Can't let that happen again.
Oh, I remember. Seems like you had plenty of Johnsonville brats going in your brat hot tub.
I know. Plus, I made that chili with Johnsonville Italian sausage. You ate three bowls. See for yourself? Tape doesn't lie. So this year, I'm adding my secret weapon, new Johnsonville meatballs.
Johnsonville makes meatballs?
They're new. Found them in the freezer section. With those babies in the crock pot, we'll have enough food to get us through double overtime.
That's yet another shining example of how studying film during the week gets you ready for Sunday.
Precisely. Find these and other delicious game day ideas at Johnsonville.com.
Johnsonville, served with pride since 1945.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Cloudy today, temperatures cool into the low 30s. Lots of clouds tonight with areas of snow. 1 to 3 inches will be possible, or it's a low near 15. Chance of snow on Friday, high near 23. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 28.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. A couple of good things coming up with Kearney High basketball on Friday night. Of course, there'll be a doubleheader at Grand Island. And then on Saturday, it's Saturday with the Bearcats, a youth basketball clinic, which will begin at 9 a.m. at Kearney High. They'll be using both the North and the South gyms. Again, they'll be at 9 a.m., a free basketball clinic with Kearney High coaches and players. And this is designed for the boys, ages 4 through 7. They're welcome to attend. And if you show up for that, for the free clinic, you also get a free ticket to the Kearney High game that night against Omaha Northwest, and the girls varsity game will be at 5:15, the boys JV also at 5:15, and then the boys varsity game will follow, as they'll flip that around. And so that's a great opportunity. Again, that's Saturday morning at 9 at Kearney High School, and then later that night, the Bearcats playing host to Omaha Northwest in the girl-boy doubleheader. Talk to us about that and the fact that his basketball team is playing some pretty good hoops right now is Jason Boyd, the head girls basketball coach for Kearney High. Jason, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I hate to cut into your lunch too much, but we want to talk a little bit about how you guys have been playing, and you guys have really kind of been on a roll here. You've won 6 of your last 7 ball games during that stretch. Not to say that things are really a whole lot different from when you weren't picking up wins at quite such a ready clip, but have things kind of turned around for you a little bit, or are you just finally getting paid for the hard work you guys have been putting in?
Well, you know, we've been shooting the ball well lately. Offensively, we've been a lot better the last couple weeks. I think we just, you know, I think part of it is just, you know, you get a lot of time in the gym all year. You know, we're in the gym 6 days a week pretty much, getting lots of shots up, that kind of thing, and you do kind of start to see That work pay off a lot of times. Once you get into the second half of the season, you start to see kids, you know, their shots are improving and that sort of thing. And we have multiple kids, quite a few kids play multiple sports. And so, you know, sometimes they come in a little rusty at first, and sometimes it takes a while for them to get going.
Coach, it's Bonnie Kratzenstein filling in here, and I have a couple of questions for you. The first one has to do with, you know, your personnel a little bit. I think to win in Class A, certainly we know that you have to have a all-star type player or two, but and I think you have that. But I also know that you have a lot more depth this year than some of the years in the past. Could you talk about that just a little bit?
You know, I think, yeah. I mean, our you know, right now Kelsey Sittum's averaging 16.8 points a game for us, doing a lot of things really well for us. From three-point range, she's 38%. I know early in the year she was below 20. I know we're after the first couple weekends we were kind of worried about her shot, and then all of a sudden to get that up to where it's at, you know, she's been shooting it really well. She's from the line well, 82% free throw shooter. I think she leads us in steals, second in assists. So she kind of does a lot for us. You definitely need to have some of those kids, you know. And then we got Skylar Snyder, who's second on our team in scoring, and you need multiple kids who can put the ball in the hoop. And actually, right below Skylar, average wise right now, Peyton Cutterback's third on our team in scoring. So we've got a few kids that are averaging at least 7 points a game, which you definitely need. And then our depth is a lot better than it's been in the past, and part of that is just, you know, keeping kids out. We always, you know, we want to keep as many kids out as we have. We have as many kids in the program as we've ever had since I've been here. I think we got about 20 freshmen, and then we have 25 kids had an injury too. So 25 kids that would be sophomores on up. So about 45 kids in the program in high school, which is a lot for what we've had in the past. And I think that helps with our, you know, it helps develop our depth, just having more juniors and seniors that are part of the program and stay with it.
I always thought that this time of year was always, I used to call them the dog days of the season, because you couldn't quite see districts in the end, but at the same time, you've been doing this for a long time. You mentioned being in the gym 6 days a week. What are some of the things that you focus on this time of year that's different than certainly early and maybe even late when you get a week or two away from districts?
Well, we, you know, talking about being in 6 days a week, there's days we take off Mondays. And so there's times we starting second semester every now and then we'll take off a Monday. Kind of depends. I mean, our schedule, you know, being in Class A, I don't think everyone realizes how much we have to travel. We're going, you know, and I think three straight Saturdays in December we went to Omaha, and Fremont. On a Saturday, which pretty much takes up your entire Saturday. So, you know, once we start getting those Friday, Saturday games all the time, we definitely sometimes cut back on Monday, sometimes take a Monday off. But we definitely shorten the practices too throughout the week a little bit. And you know, we work up, we get lots of shots up. You know, we focus on that kind of thing a little bit more. A lot of times early in the week we focus more on ourselves, and then as we get later into the week we really start breaking down the tendencies of our opponent and start preparing for them.
Jason, I want to talk about a couple of girls. One's younger, you know, Skylar Snyder, a sophomore, but you mentioned she's averaging about 7.5 points a game, but that average has really gone up through the course of the season. She's really grown and matured and figured out what she can and can't do out there. I mean, the growth that she's had, I want you to kind of comment on how much she's improved this season.
Well, I think, you know, I think she was kind of set back a little bit by an injury early in the year, and so she missed, I think maybe five straight games for us. And that hurt us a little bit. We were playing some tough competition early in the year. Like, you know, we've lost at that time, the teams we had lost to were one, I think we had lost to the number one team in the state, the number three team in the state at the time when we played them. Yeah. And then actually upset the number five team in the state at that time in Lincoln Northeast. So we were playing a tough schedule, and Skylar, you know, started missing some games somewhere in the middle of that. She had a back injury that kind of took her some time to get back from. And we finally, you know, in the last week, this weekend, she had a lot better weekend for her. And you can see that it's, I don't think it's affecting her as much anymore. She's taking the ball a lot stronger. But she's better in a lot of areas for us than she was a year ago. You know, she was, had to play as a freshman, and a lot of times you get freshmen in there and they, you know, have a few things they need to work on defensively and that type of thing. And she's come a long way in a lot of areas, in a lot of those other areas besides her scoring. But I think she also is someone that can definitely score for us as well.
And some pretty good post play. You know, Abby Ray off the bench, Brianna Miller has really contributed. And I want to talk more specifically about Peyton Cutterback, who I don't know how many rebounds she had against Marion, but she's either awfully already has the career rebounding lead for you guys or about to get it this weekend. Talk about the importance of those three, especially Peyton.
Yeah, Peyton's a little bit away from it. She only had a few rebounds against Marion, but I think we shot the ball too well was part of the problem. So
it's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have. But she, you know, will probably get it this weekend, it looks like. I can't remember exactly how much she's away from it, maybe five or six or so. But she should get it this weekend, I think. And so she's been steady for us for years. I mean, she was forced to play as a freshman when we were really young. Didn't have many seniors and upperclassmen, and that's what we talked about with our depth we have now. You know, it's a lot different playing a bunch of freshmen rather than playing juniors and seniors who have been in, you know, in the program for a while and kind of understand what you expect. So Peyton's been steady all along, and then you know, Brianna Miller and Abby Ray, we've got, it's kind of nice to have both of those where you can rotate them, especially because, you know, a lot of times we're playing against in Class A, you're playing against good posts week in, week out. And then so having both of them where, you know, just you got 10 fouls to give for one, but they both are fresh. They both play about half the game. And so they've done a good job for us. Defensively, they do a great job. They battle in there. Miller, with her size, you know, gets some blocks in games for us, which we didn't really have that in the past. And that helps us just inside in our interior defense to be able to get stops when we need them. And then both of them have done a great job for us.
Coach, I know this time of year we always talk about strength of schedule. We talk about preparation for districts and hopefully a trip to state. And I know the front end of your schedule was, as you mentioned, was set up with a bunch of very solid teams, maybe not quite as much toward the back end here. But how do you feel about your schedule and how that's prepared for districts and a possible trip to state?
Well, and I think, you know, we always talk about, you know, us getting better. And I didn't really mention this before, but part of our improvement that we show all the time, we're playing tough teams every game. And so we got to be ready to go every game. We have to show improvement throughout the year because other teams are improving and we don't have games off. You know, we have to be ready to play every week. And I think that helps us get better, improve, and gets us ready for state. We've seen some of those top teams already. And that's been part of our problem so far is some of our losses have kind of gotten away from us late in games. And we need to, you know, and then all of a sudden, you beat a Lincoln Northeast who is one of those top teams in the state for sure, and you wonder what happened in these other games. And so we have to find a little more consistency sometimes when we play those top 10 teams in the state, anyone that's ranked that comes in and we play them home or away, we got to be ready to go. You know, we play a lot of Friday, Saturday nights, and that helps prepare us, I think, also for tournament time when you're playing back-to-back nights a lot. You know, I think definitely our schedule helps prepare us for that. And I always say, you know, our goal at the beginning of the year is to put ourselves in the best position to make it to state. And to do that, you have to, you know, you have to knock off some of those good teams. You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. You got to get your record up and the way the PowerPoints work in Nebraska, you got to set yourself up so you're going to get yourself in a good district. And right now we're sitting, actually, I just didn't look at it because I didn't know if you guys would ask that question. I just looked at it. We're like 12th overall PowerPoint-wise, mm-hmm. which would put us in a pretty tough district because you would be with probably the number three overall team in PowerPoints. And so we have an opportunity to change that and improve on that because the two teams right ahead of us are two teams on our schedule, Northwest, Southwest. So we definitely have an opportunity to improve on that, but we got to knock off some real tough teams to do that.
You mentioned Friday, Saturday night, a common part of your schedule. You'll be at Grand Island on Friday, obviously playing one of your top rivals, and then a top 10 matchup against Omaha Northwest on Saturday. Talk a little bit about what you guys need to do to be successful this weekend.
Well, Grand Island's a team we had already beat, and right after we played that game, you know, I said I wish we weren't playing them 13 days from now because we knew we had them a quick turnaround and played them again. And so that's never easy coming in. So all week we're trying to prepare, thinking of what will they do differently because you got to imagine they're gonna try something different. So And we played really well against them the first time, and they don't. I don't think they played their best game. And they're a team that's just a little below 500, I think, but they're a quality team, knocked off a North Platte team that we split with, so we know, and it's a rivalry game. So, it's kind of surprising those two games, the guys and girls games, how they kind of got out of hand, and we kind of took it to them in both of those. But, I know Coach Steinbrück and myself are kind of worried coming into this game this Friday and just know that they're going to, it's a rivalry game and they're going to be ready to go. We just beat them, just less than 2 weeks ago. And so we've definitely been preparing for them all week. And have looked at a little bit of Northwest film and kind of done a little bit to prepare for Saturday. Also, we're going to have a shoot around Saturday, but Northwest is super athletic, lots of pressure. That game is going to be kind of different for us, where we have to be able to handle pressure a little bit and hopefully attack the pressure and score against it, because we'll probably see a lot more full court type pressure against Northwest, and the key to that game is definitely going to be handling their pressure and making good decisions and then hopefully, getting back on defense and getting some stops as well.
Well, Jason, certainly wish you the best of luck. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Jason Boyd, the head girls basketball coach of the Kearney High girls, 10-5 on the season at Grand Island on Friday, and then their host Omaha Northwest Saturday on top of the hill. This is the Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Just a reminder for you, there are additional rebates for Ram trucks that go through the end of the month. And if you take a look, you'll notice there's not a lot of end of the month left here. So you've got to get in here this week. You don't have to trade in your Ram on a Ram. You just have to own one, and then you'll qualify for some additional discounts, even if you buy an additional Ram. Everyday low hassle free prices for 500 different vehicles available. Midway certified program with a year of oil changes. They'll just take care of you. They'll take care of the oil changes. 6 month, 60,000 mile warranty on the vehicle, and a 2 year, 100,000 mile powertrain warranty. Also, everyone gets free car washes with the purchase as long as you have that vehicle, which is obviously very nice this time of year. Get all that salt and grime off your vehicle, and they'll give you those free car washes. Midway on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Complete inventory also at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it's a better way. We'll take a break and we'll be back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. We come back right after this.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Join the chase
for your
Tri-City Storm.
Catch back-to-back games this Friday and Saturday
as the Storm battle
the Des Moines Buccaneers.
Friday, January 31st is Olympic night with concourse games for fans.
It's also another free Kids Friday.
Then, on Saturday, it's casino night featuring $1 Coors Light beer. Use play money to gamble with at the game. Turn in your casino cash for a chance to win over 60 prizes. Vegas meets the Viero Center
with casino night at the Storm game.
That's back-to-back games of Storm Hockey versus Des Moines on Friday and Saturday. For tickets, visit stormhockey.com. Presented by Viero.
What is focus? It's the fusion of clarity and alertness. It's when you're in the zone, on top of your game. It's the confidence that comes with saying, I can and I will. It's when you feel like you can do anything, accomplish everything. Because with focus, nothing seems out of reach. So reach for a 5-hour energy and get the feeling of focus you need to get things done. For details and disclaimers, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Hey mate, welcome to the Bard Outback, home of the new bar menu starting at just $4.
So what's on special?
Well, we like to say everything.
And later tonight?
Everything.
And tomorrow?
Everything.
So what you're saying is?
Everything.
In the Outback, you could say everything's on special in our new bar menu starting at $4 and going all day, every day. Delicious new appetizers like margarita flatbread and tall drinks, they're starting at just $4. Outback Steakhouse. No rules, just right. Only available in the bar area. Prices, products, and participation may vary.
Beginning of the song, I thought somebody was going to do a trick of some sort. I was
drum roll,
waiting to see somebody on a trapeze somewhere. We did get an email to us at the Dent Popper inbox. Randy, it is true. The Big Ten is a tough basketball league. If they say the SEC is tough because teams beat up on each other in football, well, now the same shoe is on the foot for the Big Ten in basketball, and death to the SEC. I don't know if they go that far, death to the SEC.
Well, that's harsh.
But I will say, it is, without a doubt, in my opinion, the toughest basketball league. You know, the Big 12 is okay, but that depth, those last four or five teams in the bottom of the Big Ten, infinitely better than those bottom tier teams in, say, the Big 12.
Right. I agree with you. And by the way, you know that I'm now even more a little bit of an SEC fan. Did you hear that one?
I did not hear this
one. Yeah, one of my best buddies. You know, Jerry Gadowski, who's on here a few weeks ago when he was Ohio, he is now the got hired as a receivers coach at Vanderbilt.
At Vanderbilt.
And so when we next time we have him on here, we'll be asking him about what's the SEC really like? Are they really, you know, fill in the blank? And, you know, maybe we can have our viewers do that. We might have some real regional stereotypes that we can test on that deal.
You know, there's a number of bucket list things I want to do in college football.
Mm-hmm.
And about half of them are in the SEC. The other half is everybody else.
Oh, I agree. And we have a small connection with Mark Richt and Georgia. And I said, you know, that was on our bucket list. Well, now with we've already checked flights into Nashville for this fall because, you know, that's just a different world. It's just a different atmosphere. And I think sometimes Nebraska people think that they have a monopoly on craziness or loyalty or whatever, and they don't. And it's fun to go and see it, especially if you're not necessarily cheering for a team, to see it from an outside observer. It's really fun to go to those places. And so, yeah, that bucket list. I people give me a bad time, especially my wife. Say, how come your bucket list is all about sports events? And I'm like, guilty as charged.
That's right. It's my bucket list. I get to make it any way I want to. I'll tell you what, if LSU baseball fans are any indication about the quality of tailgating and that sort of thing, because the College World Series, anybody's been to the College World Series like we've been, it's like you I think you kind of get an idea, but I think it'll blow you out of the water if you go to a Saturday night game in Baton Rouge.
I forgot that what time of year it was, because I have a LSU hat. Every year when you go to College World Series, I buy a hat of some sort, you know, and I have a LSU baseball hat, and I was wearing it yesterday, and I took a little bit of flack. They're like, LSU, what's going on? I said, isn't it almost baseball season? I said, it's okay to wear that in baseball season.
Well, we are getting kind of close to baseball season. In fact, the Lopers scheduled to play this weekend
in Denver,
and I'm still having trouble wrapping my mind around that kind of concept. Monty, hey, appreciate you joining us.
Happy to be here. Always a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. Beats working for a living, no question about that. I want to thank Monty Kratzenstein for joining us, being our co-host today. We were also joined by Rick Pizzo from the Big Ten Network. I want to say thanks to him and Jason Boyd, the head girl basketball coach at Kearney High. And tomorrow, well, we might talk a little officiating. Who knows? Jim Lang will be in tomorrow. I know there'll be some discussions about old prop bets and other things in the Super Bowl as we'll have.
I'll bet on that.
I think we can kind of bank on that as well. So join us tomorrow for the Doug and Daddy Show as we'll talk with Brian Munson about some Husker recruiting and where the status of Nebraska football is with some of the events going on, plus a whole lot more tomorrow. Join us tomorrow at 11 right here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.